I've sung when I've been happy. I've sung when I've had tears. I've even had folks ask me if it's all been just a show. But the reason that I'm singing, I want the world to know. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there is a power to save. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I know I'm not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home, and I shall sing through all eternity. I've watched their saddened faces turn into happy smiles. I've bowed my head and whispered, Lord, please do the same for me. And I'm glad that I can tell you, He's always given victory. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there is a power to save. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I know I'm not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home, where I shall sing through all eternity.
The last verse one more time.
Amen.
I've sung to those walking through the fiery trial. I've watched their saddened faces turn into happy smiles. I bowed my head and I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there is a power to save. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I know I'm not alone. I sing because someday I'm going.
Amen. We need to kind of look around this morning and see who is not here, and then give them a call and find out why they're not, and see make sure everybody's okay. I know there's folks traveling, and beautiful day like today, and of course, hopefully, as I've always told you, and I believe this is right, it's okay to go on vacation. It's okay to miss at Faith Independent Baptist Church on a Sunday, as long as wherever you're vacationing, you're in church there, all right? And I encourage you, as you do your summer vacations this year and your getaways, don't get away from God. Don't get away from church. Find a like faith church. And bless them with your presence. And I want to encourage you to do that. That's really a good thing to do, because I don't know about you all, I like to eat, and um, And when I don't show up at the dinner table and I don't get fed, I get hungry. And when I get hungry, I get cranky, I get grouchy, I get irritable, and a whole lot of other things that take place. And so I want to encourage you to always make sure that no matter where you're at, what you're doing, always show up for the meal that's being served. You say, well, I don't know. They're having Brussels sprouts. I don't like Brussels sprouts. Well, eat them anyway, and good for you. Or I don't like onions, right, Alyssa? But eat them anyway. They're good for you. They'll give you character. Yeah, that's what my dad used to tell me anyway. But I thank the Lord for that. If you'll take your Bible this morning, and if you'll open up to Matthew chapter 11, we're going to look at the first six verses here in Matthew chapter 11, and I'm going to make some application here, and we're going to discuss a few things here this morning. And so just to kind of give you a little bit of background of where we're at here in the scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ had called and instructed his 12 disciples, and he was giving them a job. He was giving them a command of where they were supposed to do, where they were supposed to go, what they were supposed to do, and he was instructing them. Not only did he give them a command to tell them what they were supposed to do and what they were supposed to do, where they were supposed to do, and who they were supposed to do it to, he also let them know the cost, and he also talked to them about the rewards. And folks, serving the Lord will cost you. It will cost you. And you say, well, you know, it didn't cost in me anything. Well, then I would really kind of back up and check, and are you serving the Lord? There is a cost to serving the Lord. It'll cost you your time. It'll cost you your finances. The reward and the blessing for submitting to what God wants in your life literally the reward is out of this world. And so I want to encourage you. The cost is great, but again, what we've got to keep in mind here on earth, the Bible tells us life is but a vapor which appeareth for a moment and then pass away. What you're going to experience here on this earth of inconvenience because you serve the Lord, you will spend an eternity in heaven reaping the reward and benefit. And again, the devil, he's tricky. He likes us to look at the immediate and what's going on, and we get all bound up about what's going on right now. But this life is just a short time. It dawned on me the other day, and I know you all know this, but it dawned on me that, you know, how things just kind of hit you suddenly. I was thinking about age. And when I turned 59 years old last year, January, I didn't really think much about it. Okay, it's 59 years old. All right, I can handle that. It's 59 years old. Just about 2 weeks ago, it hit me that this coming January, I'm going to be 60 years old. I'm going to be old. You know, I'm getting up there. You know, and it's just kind of one of those strange things that just kind of hits you all of a sudden, like, you know. Now I don't feel 60. It all depends on which day you're asking me. Today, you know, I'm feeling, you know, close to 60. But some days I feel 29. Of course, I don't know. I was working with the men downstairs, on Friday night, and I was scraping some of that stuff off the ceiling down there, and by the time I got done, I felt like I was 190. But it just depends on when and what doing is how I feel. And not even sure how we got there. The Lord was telling his disciples, and he was talking about the cost of serving and the reward of serving. And I guarantee you, I promise you from experience that you will even experience here in this world, the reward is far greater than the cost. The reward is far greater than the cost. Anything that I may have suffered along the way thus far in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, I promise you, it has been worth every mile. It's been worth every trial, and if I had to do it all over again, I'd do it again. I'd do it again. And the only thing that I might change is I serve in the Lord sooner. and serving the Lord quicker. And so I just want to encourage you today, and that's what the Lord was going over with the disciples. He had chose them, he had called them, set them aside for a purpose. And again, folks, we are set aside for a purpose, and that's not just to come and make sure that your spot at Faith Independent Baptist Church is filled, but it's taking what you're going to learn from here and doing something with it. There's the cost, there's the instruction. We're called, set aside, the cost, the reward. But again, as we talked a little bit about this morning, human emotions, we're going to look at John here in Matthew chapter 11. And so, Brother Cleo, if you'll come up and read for us John chapter 11, and go ahead and read for us the first six verses.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. And Pastor, I do believe you got there by talking about life is but a vapor.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 11, first six verses. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And he blessed, and blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, so much for the day that you have given us here. Lord, for the opportunity that we can come and gather around your throne. And Lord, we can look into your word. And again, Lord, we want to bring before you the Denton family. Lord, I pray that you would just be with them and you would encourage them. Lord, I pray that you would be with Sister Helen. Lord, as she heals from her surgery, Lord, I pray that she'd be able to be back with us soon. And Lord, I just pray for the others that are out sick today. Lord, I pray that you would just heal their bodies. Lord, I pray that you would be with the needs that they have. And Lord, I pray that you would be with those that are on vacationing and on vacation and they're touring around. Lord, I pray that you would just watch over them, protect them today. Lord, I pray that you would help them, keep them safe and bring them back to us. And Lord, I just pray that you would have your will and your way in our auditorium today. Lord, I know that there's some here today, Lord, that have burdens. I pray that you would lift those burdens. Lord, I pray for those that are looking to you for direction. Lord, I pray that you would give direction. Lord, I pray for those that might be among us this morning that's lost and don't know you as personal Savior. Lord, I pray that you would just help them today. And Lord, I know there's financial needs and physical needs. And Lord, I just pray that you would reach down and touch and meet each and every one. Lord, that your will would be done. And now, Father, I do this morning want to pray for churches in our area today, Lord, of like faith, Lord, that are preaching the word of God today. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with their services as well. And Lord, may your will be done and we see souls saved in your name. We pray. Amen. As we look into the scripture here, and as we, in introduction is what we saw here, as we saw the Lord Jesus Christ choosing his 12, counting the cost and letting them know about the rewards and then sending them out to serve. And again, folks, the thing that I want to add to that and reiterate again on, God has called us to serve. God has called us to work. God has called us to take the gospel to the lost. There are certain things in your life that you need to pray about. Sometimes you need to pray about maybe where God wants you to serve, but you never have to pray about whether God wants you to serve or not. That's a given. He's already answered that when he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's exactly what he meant, and that's something we really don't have to pray about. We just need to do. And again, as we look at things here, we run in chapter 11 here. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible says in verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, commanding them, giving them the instructions, equipping them for everything that they needed, and sending them out and to do the work of the Lord." And then he goes on to say here, "And he departed thence," speaking now the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, "He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities." Now, what we see here is, folks, we see the Lord Jesus Christ teaching by example. And folks, if there has never been a cause in this world today, it is for our older adults to be teaching by example. And teaching the younger what to do and where to go and what to say. And it is such a great need in our world today. Now again, I do know and I understand that our young people today are a little bit harder to reach. They think a little bit different than what we do. They act a little bit different than what we do. You know, I was talking to my dad about this morning. Years ago in church, when you come into the church for a service, you didn't dare get up and go out for nothing. Actually, the pastor, my pastor that I had as young people, if you got up and started to exit out the service, he'd call you down. If he knew your name, he'd call you and tell you, "You come back here and sit," and he'd tell you, you can take care of that later. And again, growing up in a Christian home, when the first song began to be, when the first song was singing, before the first word was spoken, my mom and dad always sat in the about the third row back on my right side, and ourselves had better be there when the first word was sung. Otherwise, we paid the price. Again, you would have never thought about bringing in coffee and into the auditorium, or even bringing a water into the auditorium. You know, these were things that were just not done. And I've got a point I'm getting to here. But that was in that generation. Now, folks, I believe that we should always reverence our church building. But again, keeping in mind, the church building is not where God is. It's where we worship. God is within us. And again, I think there should always be respect. I'm getting to a point on this in here, on this here as we go along. And I'm going to show you this here in the scriptures in a bit. But what we need to keep in mind is the upcoming generation, folks, they think differently than what we do. They act differently than what we do. They want different things than what we did. And there's some things, folks, that what we've got to do is we've got to look at, and we've got to make allowances for, because how we got to look at it is it scriptural or not scriptural? Now, folks, please don't panic. We're not hiring a rock band, and we're not changing the Bible. I'm not coming out with a new doctrinal book. What we're talking, and I'll get to it as we go along here. What we need to do, folks, in order to be able to reach the next generation, is we've got to learn how to think like they think, and how to respond like they respond. Because again, as I use myself for an example, and we've gone into foreign countries. And we learned the languages in those foreign countries, even though we knew the language, many times our communication was wrong because our thinking was not. For example, and I can't do it as well as I used to be able to do it, and I wasn't even able to do it well then, but speaking in Spanish, I can give you some Spanish words, but if I'm not thinking in Spanish, what comes out of my mouth will not be correct. I need to think in Spanish. We've got Google, with languages, we've got, Google Translate. You know, Google Translate can't think in Spanish. it will give you a word-for-word translation of what you're trying to say. The problem with that is it, with it not thinking in Spanish, you have to go back and you have to correct that translation because it's going to come out wrong, and you might say the wrong thing, not intending to, even though you're saying the wrong or the right words. And again, I'm getting to a point, so let's get to the scripture here. John here, the Lord Jesus Christ had sent the disciples out. He had sent them, and Jesus went the Bible says he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Jesus set out to meet the need of the people. He began to meet the needs in the villages and cities. And again, as we go through and we look at the scriptures, there was a lot of criticism from the Sadducees and Pharisees, of how Jesus did things because it wasn't how they did things. For example, he sat and he ate with the publicans and sinners. Well, the Pharisees, they thought, well, hey, you know, that's the worst thing that he can do. But Jesus was setting out to a goal. He was setting out to reach the people of that day. He was setting out. Now, again, although he sat with the publicans and sinners and he ate with them, he didn't become one of them. And that's important for us to understand. We're not going to become publicans and sinners to reach the sinners. But if we can sit alongside of them, and again, what we're talking about is here is getting an understanding of how they think and getting an understanding of how we can reach out to them. Because if we don't, folks, we're going to lose them. They're going to go on to another place. They're going to go on to another area that'll tickle their ears and tell them what they want to hear. We can tell them what they need to know, but we can do it in love, and we can do it in a language that they understand. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he had a goal here, and his goal was to depart and to go out and to teach and preach in their cities. Now, here comes John the Baptist in verse number 2. And the Bible says, and when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Now, again, we understand what the job of John the Baptist was. He was what we call the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went out before Jesus Christ came into his ministry, and he went and announced. And talked about it. And John, as we know, was very different. The Bible says that he lived in the wilderness, and he dressed funny, and he ate locusts and wild honey. There was a lot of things that was very different about John the Baptist. But see, John the Baptist had a job. John the Baptist, his ministry was to announce the coming of the Messiah. His ministry was to help people see that the prophecies that were in the Old Testament, and the prophecies that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be fulfilled, and he had a job to do. He had a purpose, and that purpose was to prepare that generation to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and to receive the coming of the Messiah. And so when John heard about the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says he sent two of his disciples in verse number 3 and said unto them, art thou he that shouldest come, or do we look for another? You see, I think what John was asking here, I don't believe there was a doubt in John's mind that Jesus Christ was truly the Messiah. But again, from what John did to what Jesus did was different. But you see, the ministry was different. The Lord Jesus Christ was coming, and he was the Messiah, he is the Messiah, and he was the Messiah. His goal was to come here and to fulfill Scripture. His goal was to come heal the sick and the lame, and to bring people to himself. And his ultimate goal was to come and to die on the cross so that we could have eternal life. And again, what we see here, collating in the scriptures, John had his job. Jesus sent the disciples out to do their job. Jesus went and did his job. John went and John had a job that he had done and that he was fulfilling. And again, John, he seen what Jesus was doing, he sent the disciples back and two of his disciples. And the question was, are you the one, or are we looking for another? The Bible tells us here what Jesus' response was. And Jesus, the Bible says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again the things which ye do hear and see." Who was Jesus? Not only was he the Messiah and is the Messiah, he was also the spoken word of God. And so what he was telling John's disciples, he said, you need to go back and you need to show John what you have heard. You need to go back and tell John that, hey, the things that Jesus is doing, thus saith the word of God. Thus saith, it's not out of the scriptures, it's not contrary to the scriptures. In fact, it's fulfilling the scriptures and it's going along with the scriptures. And folks, what we got to do as we serve the Lord and the things that we do for the Lord, we need to make sure that they stay within the scriptures. Folks, it's okay to think outside of the box, but it's never okay to think outside of the Word of God. Everything that we do, everything that we say, needs to stay contained within the Word of God. And folks, in the example that I was giving you in the beginning about our auditorium and things like that, and I know that we should reverence the house of the Lord, and that should always be. But sometimes we can get so wrapped up in that we forget what our ministry here is to do. Our ministry here is to reach the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our ministry here is to reach the next generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. So in order to do that, we got to make some changes. And praise the Lord, if you'll go downstairs and look, we're making lots of changes. You know what the purpose of those changes are? To reach these guys. To reach the junior church kids that are downstairs that are singing, and to have more opportunity to minister, because the needs are different than what they were a few years ago, and the children are different. And so what we're doing is we're working on coming to an area where they understand and helping them. You know, I'll just give you a really good example. Years ago, flannel graph was the bomb, and I love it. I grew up on flannel graph, watching my Sunday school teachers put flannel graph up on the board and tell the stories, and Miss Thelma Hendricksman, she was so good at it. She was so animated, I remember, even as a little boy, a little preschooler, sitting on those chairs listening to her teach. You know what happens when we do flannel graph today? The kids go to sleep. The kids don't hear it. The kids don't listen. You say, "Oh, well, them rebellious, mean, ugly children. How horrible. They're ungodly." Yeah, they are. Are they horrible? Yes. But you see, children today are all about, and I forgot to bring it, they're all about iPads and cell phones. They're all about TV. They're all about being entertained. Now, folks, moms and dads, you listen to me real close. Beware, watch out, and be careful. Because that is very, very dangerous. There's a lot of stuff on those iPhones that those kids don't need to be seeing. There's a lot of stuff on them iPads and computers that kids don't need to be seeing. And you would be wise as a parent to cut 90% of it off. Even the television, cut 90% of it off, because 98% of it is garbage, all right? But again, what do we have today? kids in our schools, they learn differently. You don't have too many teachers that stand up and give a give a lecture like they used to do in our day. Now it's all done by screen. It's all done by fancy colors and animation to get the kids' attention. Then we bring them to church, and we bore them to death. You say, now wait a minute, we're teaching them the right things. Well, yeah, we are teaching them the right things, but what we got to do is we got to work on getting it to their level. We got to get it to where they can understand it. Again, we're not changing the Bible. We're not changing the doctrine. What we're talking about here is methods. And again, what we see here in the Word of God, Jesus, John, what Jesus did and what John did and what the disciples were doing, they were doing it according to whom they were reaching. And again, I promise you folks, I am not going liberal. I give you permission to tar and feather me the day that I do, and run me off here. But that's not where we're going with this, so hang in there. And the Bible says, and Jesus said unto them, go and show John again. Go and show John again those things which ye have heard. Now, I really kind of think that's interesting. It says, go show John again. So what that kind of leads me to believe that this wasn't the first time John may have had this question. But he tells him, go back, first of all, what you have heard. What was the spoken word of God saying? What was the Lord Jesus Christ saying? So they went back and they reported on what they had heard, and what they had heard lined up with the scriptures. How many times did Jesus say in the Word of God, I come to fulfill the will of him that sent me, or a miracle, or something that he had done, this was done so that the scripture would be fulfilled. And then the second thing, and see. Hear and see. What Jesus wanted John's disciples to do is go back and let them know what they were seeing, the results of what they were seeing, and we'll get into it here. The lives that were being changed, the effects that were taking place. Folks, we're seeing in our church our youth department grow. We're seeing our children learning the Bible. We're seeing our children and young people accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We're seeing the young people begin to stand up and do some things for the Lord Jesus Christ and do it proudly. And so he went back and he told him, he said, not only of what you hear, but what you see. And then he goes on, he said, in verse number 5, he explains it, the blind receiving their sight. People that are blind have a hard time seeing the needs of other people. Think about that. Blindness. They're in darkness. Not only the picture of salvation here, of being spiritually, of not being saved, but unfortunately, I'm going to make this application. We've got some blind Christians. But it's not, it's blindness out of choice. And so he said, the blind receive their sight. The blind are seeing things that they have never seen before. When our walk with the Lord grows after we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we get that spiritual blindness taken care of as far as heaven being our home, as we get into the Word of God and as we learn the Word of God and the teaching that's being done, you know what we're seeing in our church? We're seeing some blind people see some things that they've never seen before. You know, when you come to Sunday school and our Wednesday Bible study, or even here in church, and you come across something that's preached about or something that you read in the Scripture, and that little light comes on and says, oh, I didn't never see that before. You know what that is? The blind receiving their sight. Because again, when you receive your sight, you're more aware of the need that God is showing you. You know, as it says through the scriptures, as the Lord Jesus Christ talked, he said, you know, look onto the fields, for they're already white unto harvest. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. What is that showing us? What is that helping us to see with our spiritual eyes that there's a need beyond us? And we learn things and we see things. And folks in our church, we've got some folks receiving their sight. And folks, just kind of putting this here to kind of help you see some things here. We need to be careful on things that we don't see and ask God to help us see it. Because sometimes, a blind person can make a judgment on something that he can't see, and most of the time that judgment will be wrong, because he's not that blind person is not seeing the whole story. He's not seeing what's going on. He's not seeing the effects. And folks, we need to always ask God to help us to open up our eyes, to help us to see. And then it goes on. It says, and the lame walk. And so he went back. He said, okay, John, the disciples of John, you need to go back and you need to let John know what you have seen. You need to let him know that the blind have received their sights, and you need to let them know that the lame walk. Crippledness. People that maybe had a withered hand, where they were limited of what they could do, or maybe their foot or they couldn't walk, and there was some things that before they couldn't do, but after the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, they could do. You know what? I praise the Lord. We've got some lame Christians that have learned how to walk. You know, we've got some folks that are teaching, and they're learning. They're not only teaching the children, they're also teaching and learning themselves. You know, they've stepped out on faith into a new direction and a new era in their life, and God is blessing them for it. You know, and the lame are walking. There's folks that are having spiritual problems in their life that are getting help. Spiritual things that have crippled them for years, and they're getting help, and they're able to walk, and they're able to do more. And so he's telling John's disciples, go back, and the blinds receive their sight, the lame have walked. And then he goes on to say, and the lepers are cleansed. Those who are diseased, and we all know about the lepers. And in that day, that was a disease that caused separation because there was no cure for it, where the flesh on someone's arm would just literally rot, and they were separated out, and they were sent outside of the city, and what they had to say when somebody would approach them outside of the city, and they had to be away from their family, and it caused great problems. They'd have to put their hand over their mouth, and they would have to yell out and tell people that were approaching, unclean, unclean, you can't come near me because I'm unclean. You know what, folks? We're seeing some lepers get cleansed. We're seeing some lepers come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We're seeing some folks that things that they couldn't do and relationships that they couldn't have before, we're seeing them have. And the Bible says, in the deaf hear. Spiritual deafness, folks. Spiritual deafness. You know, that's one of the things that kills a church. Spiritual deafness. And most of what spiritual deafness is when we turn the Word of God off. You know, when we let things just lull us to sleep or we don't hear. You know, I put them in my jacket pocket this morning, but I didn't put them in my ears. My hearing aids. And you know, when I've got those in, I can hear a lot clearer. You know, the kids, when they come up to me, I can understand what they say. Sometimes when the kids come up to me and they talk to me, and I don't have my hearing aids in, you know, I agree, and sometimes I agree to things I probably shouldn't agree to, because I don't want to tell them after they've repeated it the sixth time, I don't understand what you're saying, I can't hear what you're saying. And but you know, we've got some folks that spiritual deafness is going away. They're hearing. They're getting involved. Well, I'll tell you what, I am excited about what God is doing in our youth group. You know, there's some spiritual deafness that's disappearing in our youth group, and some things are changing. And the result of that is, it goes on to tell us, and the dead are raised up. You know, we've got some folks here recently that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're the dead raised. And then it goes on to say, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. You know, our teens have had a yard sale the last couple of days. And a couple weekends ago, they had another yard sale. You know, they're just not selling junk to go to camp. They're also giving out the Word of God. Each person that come got an invitation to church. Each person that came got a gospel of John and Romans. You know what we're teaching our young people? Serve. Serve. What you've been placed here on earth to do is to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's your responsibility to do so. And folks, we've got the poor that the gospel is being preached to. And again, what's really significant in the scriptures there is in the Lord Jesus' day, only certain people were preached to. And here, he's sending back that message to John the Baptist. Not only are the blind receiving their sight, not only are the lame walking and the lepers are cleansed and the deaf are hearing, and the dead are being raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. The poor are having an opportunity. Those people that, if somebody don't go to them and somebody don't reach out to them, have the opportunity to be reached. You know, I know, here a few weeks ago, our young people were kind of noisy and talking, and it was a little bit disturbing. But you know what, folks? Most of those young people are coming from homes that their parents are not encouraging them to come. Actually, their parents don't really care whether they come or not. Their parents don't know things about the Word of God. You see, the Bible says here, the poor have the gospel preached to them. There's an opportunity that they're getting that they have never had before. And folks, again, this week we got a call and we had the opportunity to take some groceries to somebody in our area that needed help. You know, folks are getting help. You say, well, preacher, what does all of this have to do with what's going on here? Folks, I challenge you, as changes come, and they will, and they are, judge them by the Word of God. Judge them by, are they biblical or unbiblical? Not by, this is the way we used to do it, or this is how I like it, or we should stay this way because this is the way we've always done it. Judge it by, is it within the Word of God, or is it without the Word of God? You know, When I teach Bible doctrine, I always put it as Bible doctrine. You know, there's some of our brothers that put it as Baptist doctrine. Now, I am Baptist from the top of my head to the sole of my feet and everything in between. But the reason I am is because of what the Word of God teaches. And when I teach, I like to call it Bible doctrine, because it takes the denomination out of it, and it takes religion out of it, and it brings it back to the Word of God. That's where we always need to have the guideline. That's where we always need to come back to. This is, and again, I believe this is all my, with all my heart, folks, the Word of God is the final authority in every area of our lives.
Amen.
Not a method, not a tradition. The Word of God is always the authority in our lives. And sometimes if we're not careful, we look at a method, or we look at something or a tradition that we do. And again, I don't think traditions and all traditions and methods are bad, but sometimes they're old and outdated, and they need to be updated. And again, it's not that it's wrong. It's just in the effort, and it's just in order to reach this generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I believe God has put Faith Independent Baptist Church here for the purpose of reaching this generation. I believe with all my heart, God has commanded us to preach and to teach the Word of God. God has commanded us to reach this generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we've got to do is take the Word of God, teach it, and preach it, and reach. You know, there are so many things that years ago was forbidden. You know, years ago, in most independent fundamental Baptist churches, they forbid facial hair. You know, every fall I grow my beard out. You know, there's churches back in the day that wouldn't have allowed me to even be in their church, preach in their church, or serve in their church because I have a beard and a mustache. There was even a time when wired rim glasses were preached against. Now, in those times, there were reasons for it. There was a purpose behind it. Because again, it was mimicking the world. But today is a different day. Today is a different time. Praise the Lord. Where were our wire rim glasses? I got some wire rim readers here. But that doesn't make me a hippie. But back in the day, when they would wear the big round wire rim glasses, what they were doing is they were saying, hey, look at me. You know, I can name some things today that I'll just go ahead and do it. I'll just jump in. Body piercings. It's wrong. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with a lady having a pierced ear and earrings. But when you got stuff on your tongue and sticking out your nose and all over different parts of your body, and your earlobes look like you done went in and robbed a jewelry store, there's something wrong with that. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? It's what it's mimicking. It's what it's mimicking. You know, and again, going as far as, you know, you've got folks that with all of this sexual perversion that's going on, you've got kids in high school that are going along with it because they think it's cool and it's popular. Remember a few years back when they had that one TV show of all the pregnant teenage girls in that house, that one of those live shows things they were doing? There were young ladies in their high schools getting pregnant because it was cool. And it was popular. You know, we've got kids in our high schools today that are falling along with homosexuality and lesbian, and falling along with this perverted sex change stuff because it's cool in the high school, and because it gives them some clout. It gives them special treatment. And we're going to preach against it. We're going to let the world know that that is sin, it's wrong, and the Bible calls it an abomination. The Bible calls it unnatural. Right. And folks, that's something that ain't never going to change. You realize God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of that sin? God destroyed the entire earth because of that sin? I really don't think today God looks down, although there are churches that preach this and smiles at it and say, oh, it's okay. Go ahead. No, it's wrong and it's sin. Now, I'm going to close my book here. We need to be careful. Love the sinner and hate the sin. We need to love those that need to be loved and need to be reached. Because unfortunately, folks, a lot of the people that are falling into the sin of today are being deceived and lied to by authority figures that they should be trusting in to give them the right advice, to guide them the right direction. But they're being lied to and they're being deceived. And what we need to do as a church, we need to love them, we need to reach them, and we need to be one less person that tells them that that sin is okay. But at the same time, we need to love them, and we need to reach them. You know what to help a pregnant teenager? Getting saved. You know what to help a lesbian teenager? Getting saved. You don't even help a person that's thinking they're a male and they're really a girl, or a girl and really a male, getting saved. The same remedy is still the same. In church, we need to preach it and teach it in love. You say, well, you know, in the world we are today, you know, I don't know that we'll be heard. You know, we won't be heard by everybody. But has God not put us here during this time to reach this generation? And so as we look at things, and as John here in the Word of God, or as Jesus in the Word of God, he sent back the disciples and he told them, he said, look, he said, show John what you've seen and what you've heard. And that's how he answered John's question. In church, I want to encourage you, as we move forward with what God would have us to do, will you be careful to judge what we're doing by the Word of God? And if it's within the Word of God, let's get behind it. Let's go. Let's run with it. And let's make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because our goal is to reach our world and the people of today with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, as I've told you and I promised you, we're not changing the Bible, we're not changing our Bible doctrine, and we're not changing our music. But you know, we might change a way that we teach. You know, we might tear down some walls and put up some walls. You know, we might come in here and paint the auditorium a light gray instead of white. We change the burgundy wall to purple. What's the goal? To help the young people feel a little bit more comfortable. You say, well, what about us? Well, when you follow the Lord, you'll be comfortable. You'll be comfortable. And so I'm going to encourage you today, as we move forward, will you help us move forward? Will you help us do the things for God that we need to do? Because I have a burden to reach this area for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you, help me do that. Help me do that. And if you're here today and you're not saved, if you've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're sitting in the seat you're sitting in, if you were to die and you don't know that heaven would be your home, will you give us the opportunity to take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved? It'll be the best decision that you've ever made. And the Bible teaches us that we can know for sure. We can know for sure. I guarantee you, I promise you, if I had killed over this morning right dead in front of you, that I'd be in heaven. Not because I'm a good man, not because I work hard, because I have a great God and a great Savior who died for me, who shed his blood for me, and it said that whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I did that, and that's why I'm going to go to heaven. And I'd like to help you to go to heaven. And so if there's anything about that, and Brother Mark, if you'll make your way up this way, and we're going to have our invitation time, and Brother Jones, and whatever God's dealing in your heart, I encourage you today to move on it. We have the altars here. If God's speaking to your heart about something, you need to pray about something, I encourage you to do that. If you need to get something right, if you need to get something right with a brother or sister in Christ, I encourage you to do that. Because again, these are things that hinder a church when brothers and sisters in Christ are squabbling and fighting amongst each other. We're not each other's enemies. We've got a world to reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever God is leading you to do today, that you do. Brother Mark.